Had a good afternoon. It's beautiful. If you don't enjoy this weather, you're just going to not enjoy heaven, probably. It's beautiful out there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. We thank you for the good things we've had already tonight, the singing, the special music, the report from Thailand, and how you're doing good things there. We pray tonight that the Word of God would have preeminence and your Son Jesus would as well. May we worship and adore you tonight. Help me as I speak, Lord. There's a lot of things to bring together, and pray, Father, that we wouldn't forget and lose those things. And I need your help to make the right application. In Jesus' name, amen. In Revelation chapter 11, we find that the coming of the end of the tribulation is mentioned. We've gone back into Daniel, and a few weeks ago we went through the 42 weeks. We went through the 7 days of the 70th week, and we explained how that there were 69 weeks already fulfilled, and then there's a great gap, and which is the church, and now we're waiting for that 70th week to come. The book of Revelation, as we've seen the revelation of Jesus Christ, the first part of this book of Revelation reveals Jesus and his glory. Then it talks about the seven churches, and then the churches disappear in the fourth chapter. We believe the rapture of the church takes place. We've gone all the way through this, and now we are approaching the end of the 11th chapter. We found the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And then in chapter 13, we found the seven persons or personages revealed, and we have gone through all those in that chapter. And remember some of those persons, the woman that's going to have a baby. That's Israel as the wife of God, having the Son of God, and that baby is going to be persecuted by that great Satan, who would like to, as the red dragon, devour that baby. And remember all the things that he has the power to do in his tail that brings down the one-third of heaven. And we went through all this and how God snatches up that baby Jesus back up into heaven. And we're waiting for him to come in these next chapters in the book of Revelation. We find there was a war in heaven in chapter 12. Michael the archangel wars against Satan, and there's a battle, and Satan is cast out into this earth. And here he is, the prince of the power of the air, and he is deceiving and working. And the spirit of Antichrist does already work. And last week we went into 2 Thessalonians. Do you remember? The only thing that holds back Satan and his abilities on this earth is a resisting. The Bible says only he that now letteth will let. That means he that pushes back that power of Satan is holding him back until the day that he will be revealed. And he will be given 3.5 years, and that's his last push. And he's gonna have power, and he's gonna have authority, and he's angry, and all these things that we've learned. Look at chapter 12, look at verse 17. And the dragon, that red dragon, Antichrist, Satan here, picking on that personality, was wroth with the woman, that's Israel, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so these are converted Jews in this period of time. Verse chapter 13, we went through the first part. Let me remind you, in chapter 13, we have two major characters. They round out the third part of the unholy Trinity. The first part we've already had introduced, that Satan himself is the red dragon. And then we have the first beast we talked about last week, which is the revived Roman Empire. Today we're going to get into the second beast, which would be the false prophet, a Jewish man that's risen up to go together with the first beast, and they work together to form a power here in these last 42 months, last 3.5 years, times and time again, we've referred to that. Let's go to chapter 13 and just read into it, sort of review what this first prophet, this first beast, I'm sorry, was all about. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. And remember we said the sands and the sea, it's all of the powers of the earth. Notice this beast comes out of the sea. And I saw that beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The 10 different heads represent the powers, seven heads. The 10 horns speak of their power. They had crowns, that's their earthly kingdoms, upon their heads. And significant to us, if you didn't mark it last week, the name that's written upon like a banner that describes this beast is his name is the name of blasphemy. If there's nothing more that I personally have received from this study of the book of Revelation this time around, is to understand that Satan is relentlessly hating God. And he is no longer tiptoeing up to the throne of God and casting blasphemies at him. He is outrageous. He's like a child that's got his hand caught in the cookie jar. And he is just ranting and raving against the very God of heaven. Chapter 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his authority. Let me just remind you, he gave him his power. That word power is dunamis. He gave him the strength that he had. Who gave this beast this power? Satan, the red dragon, gave this beast. This is an earthly kingdom. This is the Roman Empire. And Satan is giving him his strength of his armies and all the rest, and his seat. If we were to look in the Greek on the word seat, it's the word thronos. And that's not too hard to understand, is it? He gave him his throne. He gave him his seat of power. And he gave him great authority. That's the other word we often see translated power. Only he gave him dunamis, strength. He gave him the seat of authority. And then he gave him the authorization to be in charge of this world. And so this is that first beast. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the earth wondered after the beast. And we discussed this, the Roman Empire in early century or so after Jesus died on the cross was cut off in 436. And it has laid dormant. The major empire, as having a king and an authority like a Roman emperor, has not been. He's had a head wound. His head has been chopped off. But the remnants of that Roman Empire are still out there. There are the European powers in Rome and Italy, and they're still out there with their kings and their thrones. They are just not organized. The head has been cut off. And what is going to happen here is that head is going to be revived. Jesus is gone. He is in heaven. And we find here now the Antichrist appears on the scene, and this beast, as it were, is given authority to bring this Roman Empire as the vehicle to draw all Gentile powers into authority. Look at middle of verse 3. And the world wondered after the beast. And this verse 4, let me just show you, this is what Satan wants, verse 4. And they worshiped the who? And the dragon represents Satan. What is Satan after all? He wants God's throne. He wants God's worship. He wants to be the center of it all. And so they worship the dragon, which gave the power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like and unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And so the authority and the power that Satan has given over to this beast, to this Roman, revived Roman Empire, this Antichrist who's leading it, this person's power is not able to be stood up against. It cannot be resisted. It is absolute. Nobody can do anything. And we're going to find the second beast in a few moments here starts to work in concert with that beast and actually draws power from the first beast, who then has drawn it from Satan. Look, if you will, please, at the end of verse 4. Who was like unto the beast, who was able to make war with him, verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. And remember, what comes out of his mouth? Blasphemies. Blasphemies against who? God. And power was given unto him how long? 42 months. How long does Satan have, the Antichrist, the dragon, this beast? How long does he have to be over this? 3.5 years. The last half of the great tribulation, known as Jacob's trouble. Look at verse 6. He opened his mouth in blasphemy. Notice the direction. That word is against God. To blaspheme, notice three things he blasphemes, the name of God. You know, this ought to make you stop and think the next time you take God's name in vain. Boy, isn't Satan happy when you say, oh, and you fill in God's name? That's Satan. Do you have a fear of God to realize that you could take the name of God like that? You know, this is another whole message, but the Jews were so cognizant of this that they were afraid that if they wrote God's name and accidentally misspelled it, how they would have to answer to God for taking his name so lightly. Satan's not afraid to blaspheme the very name of God and mock it. Notice, and it says, and his tabernacle. And this is the tabernacle of God in the heavens. And who is God? And who is his dwelling? Who does he think? And then it says, and them that dwell in heaven. Satan has been cast out, but he still is trying to put himself back up on that throne up in heaven. Could I just tonight take us on a little shortcut? It won't be a long one. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. We know this little passage, but I'd like to look at it from time to time. It describes Satan and his main goals, Isaiah 14. Look at verse 12. Remember, he was cast out of heaven. Verse 12, Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and we've always had you circle the word I. It's all about Satan, isn't it? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. If you don't recognize, that's God's mountain. That's God's throne. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Who does he want? God's position. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Just look at verse 17. That describes what Satan's going to do here. Destroy the world, wilderness, and destroy the cities thereof. This is in his anger against heaven. He's down here butchering and slaughtering and doing all these things. It's described right there. That opened not the house of his prisoners. And all the kings of the nation, and all of them lie in glory, everyone in his own house. And it just talks about his power. I want you then to take another trip with me. Go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation, chapter 19. And I want us to see, he's not going to win. But I want us just to look at these verses a little closer tonight than we have in the past. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw a great... I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 20. Let me get over to chapter 19. I want you to start with verse 17. 19, 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. You see, what is this? Armageddon. We talk about the end time battle where Satan is defeated in Armageddon. And here all the birds are called to supper. It's called the supper of the great God. And it talks about how long it's going to take for those birds to eat the carcasses of the armies that defied Jesus Christ. That they may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw, notice, who did they see first here? The beast. Who are we talking about? The beast. And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. And we haven't gotten there yet, but we already know who sits on the horse and comes back in victory. It's Jesus. And against his army, and that's the conquering saints coming with Jesus to put down the rebellion of Satan and his blasphemies. Look at verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him, the false prophet. That's beast number two.
Okay.
We're going to get to that tonight. That wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them. We're going to see the second beast working with the first beast with miracles and deception to bring authority back to that beast that gives it back to the red dragon. That he had, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast. We all know what the mark of the beast is. What is it? 666. So here we find, I'm sneaking ahead again, you're pre-peak. What's going to happen to this group? Don't get worried. God's going to take care of them, but they have 42 months. They have a short period of time. And them that worshiped his image. Remember that phrase. They worshiped his what? Image. We're going to look in this 13th chapter about that image. These both. Who are these both? Both of these beasts. Beast number one and the false prophet. Were cast. How? Alive. Into what? The lake of fire. Burning with brimstone. Hey, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and with the sword that proceedeth out of whose mouth? Jesus' mouth. And all the fowls, the birds, remember this is called the Great Supper, were filled with their flesh. This is talking about Armageddon. Now, lest you say, well, this is something in the future and all the rest, I want you to look then chapter 20, and I want you to look at verse 11. Actually, look at verse 10. And the devil was deceived and was cast in the lake of fire. Here's where that dragon gets thrown in. And the devil was deceived that was cast in the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented how long? Day and night, how long? Forever and ever. And I saw a great throne, and here's where I'm sort of working my way to tonight. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon, whose face the earth, and the earth fled away, heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. You've heard this preached on. This is the great white throne. All unsaved will stand here. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were delivered to them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, here's the question for you as we start the message tonight. Who was not found written in the book of the life? They were cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? What we're studying out tonight, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not participate in all this stuff. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're very, very foolish. Or maybe you just never knew. Jesus Christ came to save us that we might not end up at this judgment that was made for the beast, the false prophet, and Satan, the devil. Let's go back, please, to chapter 13. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, if I hadn't read the other part, this looks like Satan wins, doesn't it? This beast looks like he's total domination. And notice it says he gave power over all. Satan's given him power over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And so those that are not written in the book of life, they're going to follow Satan in this direction. If any man have an ear, let him what? Let him hear. So, all that dwell on the earth whose names are not written, it was given them to make war and overcome them with a power over all the earth. Verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. What is that phrase? Who's the one that's leading everybody into this domination? That's Satan. What's going to happen to him in verse 10? He's that's leading everybody else into captivity. He himself, over in Revelation chapter 19, he himself shall be led into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is patience. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. This is what the saints in this period of time, they will have to not bow their knee to this next beast that's coming along here. All right, so let's get to chapter, verse 11, please, if you will. Let me get my notes. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Let's just stop there. We see here the second beast. He comes up out of the earth, and he has two horns like a lamb. Sort of imitates Jesus. He imitates the second coming of Christ. People believe that maybe this. Jesus warns, be careful when people say Jesus has come here and Jesus has come. Don't be deceived by the Antichrist. And yet here somehow this false prophet comes and he deceives people into thinking that he has come back in the spirit of Christ and even has two horns. He has some ability. Do you remember the magicians as they tried to withstand Moses? Did they have some power to do miracles? Yes. Well, Antichrist? Yes. Does Satan have power to do miracles? Yes, he does. He has great authority on this earth. I tell you, I don't want to go down this road far, but I see so many people are deceived by like the charismatic movement because of all the froth and the seeming authority they have, but it's not based on the Word of God. So he says, I saw this lamb with two horns. I want you to go back with me because we need to set the setting again once again tonight. I want you to go back with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Reading a lot tonight. I hope you can follow along. Here we find Daniel. Daniel was given great visions. Do you know what was in Daniel chapter 6? Daniel in the lion's den. Right after Daniel in the lion's den, we have a great vision given to Daniel. Man, here he's going through all this persecution. Let me remind you, sort of touching on the message this morning, God is so many times preparing us for another work. Daniel is learning to really get close to God, and God shows him a vision in heaven. And I want you to see in verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the earth, of the heaven, strove upon the great sea. Where's the beast coming out of? The sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And here we list the different four beasts. Verse 4, I'm not going to read it all. It says, the first was like unto a lion. Look at verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear, and describes all the things about him and his power and the ribs in his mouth. And look at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, another like unto a leopard, which had upon it the four wings of the fowls, and also the beast had also four heads. And this, of course, was the Alexandrian Greek four heads. There was dominion was given. Three different succeeding empires. But now we come to verse 7, and I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong and exceedingly. This represents the Roman Empire. This is the one that was the head chopped off in the year 436. This is the one that's going to be revived. This is the one that when we looked in this chapter and looked backwards, we saw the order differently. It went from lion, bear, to leopard. And now we look back and we see it leopard, bear, lion. It depends which, remember we talked about the order of that. This is all in Daniel's vision, shown hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. Look at verse 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn. This is the beast. This is the revived Roman Empire. This is the Revelation chapter 13 beast. before whom there were three of the first plucked out by the roots. Three of those horns are pushed down and one consolidates them, and he becomes the head thorn, the head throne. He is this new dictator. He is this new emperor. He is this new head. This is this revived person. This is the one that is raised up, and the people are wondering at his coming back. And behold, in his horn were eyes, and the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. He's an orator. He's a man of great knowledge. Verse 9, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white. Who is the Ancient of Days? That's God. That's God the Father. Describes his hair and all the different things issuing from him. And they ministered unto him 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Do you see how it's all described? And I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which were the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning fire. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged. And here's our little prophetic statement we keep seeing. How long? A season and a time. That's that 3.5 years. Is this starting to make a little more sense as we're plowing our way through? Daniel had a preview of the beast and the false prophet. And he says in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like of the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, that's his Heavenly Father. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages serve him in his dominion. This is talking about God giving everything to Jesus. His dominion, Jesus' dominion, Jesus' rule, Jesus has been given by the Heavenly Father. The Lamb that we're going to see here in Revelation chapter 13 has two horns, and it seems like he has some of the power of Jesus, but he is not the seven-horned Lamb found in Revelation chapter 5. That's Jesus. Seven horns depicts a complete authority, a complete power given by the Ancient of Days. Dragon had power to give two horns. Incomplete power. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. This is permanent power. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. This is the coming kingdom of Jesus. Verse 15, Daniel said, I was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, the visions of my head troubled me. Can you imagine being the first person on earth to get a view of this? Do you think your head would be troubled? We've had stuff like this talked about us all. You know, Daniel must be going, what's going on here? Verse 16, I came near, and verse 16, he said, I want to know the interpretation. Verse 17, these great four beasts which are four are actually four what? Kings or kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. And we know what they are. The head of gold also pictured here is the Babylonian Empire. Then we had the Medo-Persian Empire. Then we had the Greek Empire. And then this fourth one is the Roman Empire. These are four kings. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. He just explained it. Here are these four beasts that will rise, but there will come one that God will appoint, his son, who truly shall rule this earth. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Daniel said, but that fourth beast, he's really something. Explain him to me. Look at verse 20. I want to know about the 10 horns which are in his head. Verse 21, and I behold the same horn made war with who? With the saints. I hope maybe this is, I'm not trying to go too deep because I think the deeper I go, the more we get confused. I'm trying to give you the upper picture here. This is what Daniel saw in forward prophecy fulfilled over here in the book of Revelation. Look at verse 20, 22, until, how long did he have this authority? How long did he make this war? Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Until God puts his foot down, the seven trumpets, the seven seals, all the different things, and now is the kingdom of God restored to, the kingdom of this earth restored to Jesus. Verse 23, then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. What does Satan care about this world? Nothing. Notice what he does. He treads it down and breaks it in pieces. If you're here tonight and you've allowed Satan to have a power in your life, can I tell you what? He doesn't care about you one bit. Verse 24, the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the three. Did we not see this over here in the book of Revelation? That revived head shall subdue three of those kingdoms, consolidate to become the head power. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words. Notice it. Please mark this in your Bible. This Antichrist, this beast, shall speak great words against who? And what is his name? His name is blasphemies. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Have you ever heard a man talking about discipline some kid? I'm going to wear you out. Satan is going to wear out the saints. War. And think to change times and laws. Satan, notice what he thinks he can do. He thinks he can change what God has said will be. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Is that not our last half of the tribulation period? But the judgment shall sit. What judgment? Judgment of God. Satan is cast in, the beast is cast in, and even the unsaved are cast in. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. This beast is going to lose his power to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, there's a word you don't use every day, my thoughts, my cogitations much troubled me. And my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. Have you ever seen somebody walking down and they're thinking about something, their whole face is like fallen, and you say, what are you thinking about? They say, nothing. And they're just so absorbed in something that is like shock, they're in shock. This is how Daniel has absorbed this first vision. I'm not going to take tonight to read chapter 8. But chapter 8 talks about the ram with two horns, which speaks of the second beast. And he's coming and he's going to push against all this. At the end of chapter 8, and now explain to Daniel deeper, I want you to see how Daniel responds to this vision. Look at verse 8:27. And I, Daniel, what? Fainted. When Daniel took these two visions and the explanation and he put it in his heart, what was his reaction? Boom. It overwhelmed him. You know, Christians, what we're reading tonight should overwhelm us. Could I remind you tonight, if you're saved, you won't be in it. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He said, I couldn't explain to anybody what this was all about, what I had seen. It was beyond me to put in words to people. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 13 again, please. verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. What's this mean? He had authority, appeared like the Christ, but everything he spoke and his actions were really the voice, the authority, the dead giveaway of Satan. He appeared to be godly, but when he spake, he was blasphemous. Verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Remember, this is going to be a spiritual person. It's a false prophet. He has all the power of the first beast, which is the governmental authority sitting upon this revived Roman Empire, which causes power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And so this second beast is going to work in concert with the first beast, and he's going to cause the people of the world to worship and give authority to that first beast, which is really what Satan wants all the way along. He wants the world to bow down to him, speaking blasphemies against God, the word of God, against the true God of eternity, and all this. And this second false prophet is working in that direction. Look at verse 13. We're just going to touch these things. He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So we see in verse 12, he has the power to heal. In verse 13, he's able to bring fire out of heaven. Verse 14, the word deceive, mark that. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those, in verse 12, miracles. Well, he's got to be from God. Could I remind you what Nicodemus? For no man can do these miracles except for he be of God. He's a deceiver. He appears to be the real deal. And even the very elect could be deceived, remember? Verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make, and I told you to mark this when we were reading through it, that they should make a what? An image to whom? The beast. If you would go back over into Revelation chapter 19, it says that the one that tried to get all the people of the world to bow down to the image of that beast, they both are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Here is what it's referring to. You know, this isn't the first time Satan has done this. Could I get you to turn to Daniel chapter 3? Daniel chapter 3. Pulled my marker out, excuse me. In Daniel chapter 3, we have a type or an example in the past that sort of showed the same thing. Satan's always wanted to be worshipped. But here we find it in the person of Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to notice, in Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to read something, and I want you to notice a number 6. 6 and 6. Look at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was how tall? How tall is that? 60 cubits. And the breadth of it was how wide? 6 cubits. And so it sets in the plain of Babylon. So here it's 60 feet high, it's 60 feet this way, it's 6 feet, 6 cubits this way, it's 6 cubits, the number 666. Notice in verse 7, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound, notice 6 instruments, the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music. I wish I had time tonight to talk about how Satan, I believe, uses false music to bring worship to the Antichrist. If you want to do something that'll sort of jar your mind, take your television clicker, go to channel 2214 and all those little religious stations, turn down the volume and look at the performers, and they would appear like Satan brought most of those right out of the ungodly, drug-infested places, and yet they are singing the praises of God. And their music is so horrible. It is so ungodly. And yet, who does it appeal to? The old man. So that's a sidetrack tonight. Here Satan is bringing this image. I don't know what this image is, but here we find the false prophet has set up an image and the beast, and this false prophet is saying, everybody bow. Who did not bow to Nebuchadnezzar? It wasn't Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I don't know, Daniel was off in business, remember? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bend. What was the result? They were thrown into the fire. And Jesus delivered them, did he not? Is this not a picture of what we're seeing over here? Is this not a type that's coming in the New Testament? Okay. Will God deliver his people? Yes. Is God going to walk through us with us through the fire? Do we need to be afraid? No. Let's go, if you will, please, again back where we were. We're in Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 14 in the middle, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So here we find very equivalent from Daniel chapter 3, we find a very equivalent thing here, that the Antichrist has raised up an image and he's getting the false prophet to lead him false worship of the beast, which is really worship of Satan. This is what God, and you notice the first beast is drawing his power from Satan and he's worshiping Satan. Satan wants to be worshiped. He wants to be adored. This is his goal through this whole thing. He wants to take down the Ancient of Days. This is what his desire is, and only God should be worshipped. I couldn't help but think, I did not coordinate this with Brother Ricky, but the second or first song that we sang tonight was Worship the Lord. Knowing what I was going to preach on, could I just remind you of the words that you sang? And I thought, God, I hope you're hearing it from sincere hearts, because Satan would like to lead this to himself. Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in his might. Walk in his light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are his wonders and grand his ways. Come, let us worship the Lord. Heavens proclaim, Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice. Sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship. Worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet son of man. Conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship. Come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship. Let us worship the Lord forever. Sing to the God of eternity. Come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King. Rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord. Honor the Son. Jesus has won. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Isn't that a great song? Especially in the light of what we see Satan would desire. He's trying to get people to worship him. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke for a moment, please. Chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is nothing new. Satan, do you know Satan thought he could get Jesus to worship him? Do you remember? Yeah. Luke chapter 4, Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days, tired and hungry. Satan said, I'm going to move in and see if I can't get him to bow down and slip up and worship me. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Let's start with verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. What does this first beast get when he worships the Lord? Does he not get all the kingdoms? He took up Satan on the offer that Jesus turned down. If you'll worship me, the dragon says, I'll give you authority over all kingdoms and nations and tongues. He says, okay. And he drives his authority from Satan. What does Jesus say, though? We already know the answer, don't we? And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. That word power is authority. And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. You know, Satan wasn't lying there. Does Satan have certain authority on this earth? Yeah. Wow. If thou wilt therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. What he didn't tell him was temporary. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We've heard messages on this, have we not? And yet that fits right into what's going on over here in Revelation chapter 13. The first beast is taken up on that offer, and the false prophet is leading the worship. And they're building this image, whatever it is. And everybody's supposed to bow down and draw authority from this image that comes from this beast. And I want you to go on and look, please, in verse, if they didn't do it in verse 15, what's going to happen to them? They shall be killed, thrown into a false lake of fire, as it were. Verse 16, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Where? Either in their right hand or in their foreheads. Boy, you want to read all kinds of ideas, whatever this is, I take it literally. Somehow Satan, in his world domination and authority, is going to have control of economy. He's going to have control of authorities in this world to come and go and travel and passports. This week, I got a letter in my box. My license is one of those licenses that goes 6 years. That's sort of nice. But mine was issued back before a certain date, before the federal government has just changed the rules. And so I had to send my license back in because it didn't have a certain imprinted star. And if I didn't do that, if I don't do that, I can't get on the airplane. It's invalid anymore. And it just reminds you that in the name maybe of terrorism in the United States, and I tell you, we need to do something to stop the terrorism. But in the name of a good thing, I wonder how many rights the Antichrist is just going to ride into that 666 mark in our life. I've read stories for years of how in the army they've already begun to tattoo people and do things. It used to be when a soldier would die on the field, they were afraid they wouldn't be able to find the bodies and bury him. They would take his dog tags and they'd push him up in his teeth and shove his mouth down on it so they could identify him, that dead corpse, later on and know it was, you know, lieutenant or sergeant or private so-and-so. But now they are putting marks in their body and they're putting different little, like you would do a dog, you put something. Yeah, you know what it is, all right? These things are all, and how about the stealing of your credit cards? You can't listen to the radio or television for a day and they'll say, have you had somebody steal your identity? And you need to have this and this and this. Can you see how this all is coming together, the economic and the government, and this mark of the 666 that we're going to find here? Let's go on, please. And the nations, My page flipped, sorry. Verse 16, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save, that word means except, he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Many people believe that has to do with a social security number. I remember when I came to Houston a few years ago and I got ready to move into a new place and got ready to turn my electricity on. She said, what's your social security number? I said, I don't want to get it. She said, you can't have any electricity. I said, what? Went to turn the water on. I thought, I'm not going to give them my, I couldn't get water. I couldn't get natural gas. I don't know how this is going to come. But we're already numbered and marked in one form or another. Isn't it shocking? Have you got one of these little emails that says, type your name in here and find out what the internet knows about you? I went into a dealership years ago. It wasn't Ray. Okay. I went into a real dealership many years ago, and the guy was a man in our church. He went in the other room. I found out later on, this is quite illegal. And he came back and he said, Pastor, you're a good guy. I said, why is that? He said, I ran a background check. I ran a credit check and everything. I wasn't buying anything. I was just stopping by to have lunch. He said, let me tell you. I said, show that to me. He printed out this thing. I said, how do they know all that stuff? That was 25 years ago. I don't know what power you have now, Ray. Wow. This is not far-fetched. We've seen in our lifetimes this coming forward on steroids. Would we all agree? I don't think anybody here could disagree with that. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. This is the number of the unholy Trinity. 7 being the number of perfection, the number of God. Here is the perfect counterfeit Satan, but one number short all the way across. Let me give you some thoughts and combine these together. There's so much to give. Satan starts out this effort with a time of peace. Let's don't forget the first 3.5 years he's consolidating. And now we find this revived Roman Empire is brought all of a sudden to life after 3.5 years. It consolidates with a strong leader and the false prophet rises up. There is a political leader and a religious leader working together. The political leader is secular, Gentile, and civilian in authority. The religious leader is spiritual and Jewish, gathering together all the other religions together in one form of worship. The second beast, the false prophet, is subordinate to the first prophet. The first beast. He uses the military power to bring his authority, and he in turn says, you will bow down to the beast. They work in concert. They demand this relationship and this absolute iron-fisted. The second beast is just a lieutenant of the first beast. In Psalm chapter 2, we find that the Lord has given this completely. I'm not going to read it tonight. God gives Jesus the kingdom of the earth. And you can read how he's going to push down all authorities. The second beast deceives the earth to worship the secular beast. So you have one world church. That's called ecumenicalism. One world economy, that's the number of the mark in the trading. One world government. And you will submit or flee into the hills, and it will be unto death. Remember, if you know Jesus Christ, you're out of here already. But I wouldn't want to be you if you don't know the Lord. One day Satan will be dealt with. We read about it in Revelation chapter 19. Armageddon's not going to be a big day. He has 3.5 years. He has 42 months. And he thinks, remember what it said in the book of Revelation, that he can rewrite the laws of heaven and blaspheme God on his throne and the tabernacle and his saints. But do you remember the verse in Romans 8:31? If God be for us, who can be against us? I found a commentator that gave the names of this beast in the Old Testament and the New Testament as they're referred to in different passages. Let me just quickly go through them. They'll ring a bell for most of us. In the Old Testament, the beast is called the King of Babylon in Isaiah 14. That's the passage where Satan is cast down. He's called Lucifer in Isaiah 14. He's the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 and 8. He is a king with a fierce countenance in Daniel 8. He's the prince that shall come in Daniel chapter 9. And he's the willful king that will be king in Daniel chapter 11. In the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians, this man is referred to as the man of sin. He is also called the son of perdition. He is called that wicked. We understood wicked one. Does that not line up with the name of blasphemies? He appears like the lamb with the two horns, but he speaks with the mouth of a dragon. That wicked. He's the Antichrist, and here in the book of Revelation, he's called the beast. They all are the same person. They all are the same spirit. In Revelation chapter 5, we have the Lamb of God, given the seven horns and the fullness of power. Here in this chapter, we find the Lamb with only two horns. He can be defeated. There are two main powers at the end of this time. And it's interesting, after all these centuries, they still loom large in this world, the city of Rome and the city of Jerusalem. I think in our day and age, an interesting thing that's happened is the U.S. Embassy has now recognized Jerusalem as the capital, a place of Israel. It's an interesting thing, though, coming to pass. You know, the devil, we found, can perform miracles. Don't be deceived when someone seems to be religious. He can bring down fire. He's a deceiver. He comes in his own name, not in the name of God. He is so close, 666, but he demands to be worshipped. Can I tell you what this all revolves about? War in heaven, war on earth. Satan will rewrite the book. Satan will want to be worshipped. But praise God, the Ancient of Days has already told us what's going to happen. He is going to send his son to straighten this all out. And in these next chapters, we're going to find Jesus coming in on the horse. Amen? And we got a lot of things coming in these next few verses. In Daniel chapter 7, it says Satan will speak great and swelling words against the Most High. In Daniel 8, he's called the Prince of the Jews. In Daniel chapter 11, it says he wants his own will, and he wants to be magnified above God. In Daniel chapter 3, we said, just like Nebuchadnezzar wanted to be worshipped, he wants us to bow down to his image and receive his mark. Can I ask, we're talking about all this stuff that's later on, coming after the church is gone, but does Satan even want to be worshipped now? Yes, he does. Does the spirit of Antichrist work today? Yes. It's the Holy Spirit that's pushing it back. Don't let Satan take what belongs to God out of your life. What belongs to God is God's. And our worship belongs to God. It belongs to no one else. And can I remind you of Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. When you put this all together and begin to think about it, Daniel just flat fainted. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. I would say tonight a few questions. That's why I've been trying to end my messages in Revelation. I'll ask you a couple questions. Do you think you can withstand on your own the power of Antichrist? After what we've seen. I know we have the Holy Spirit. We better be sensitive to him, lest we be deceived. Be careful you don't follow your head and your own will. Make sure you're walking behind God. Number two, Are you here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you have the same fate as this unholy Trinity and be cast in the lake of fire? It doesn't have to be that way. Tonight, get saved. Tonight, get saved. Satan wants our worship. He wants to be treated like Jesus in our life. The one world system is coming to pass. Don't fear when you see it, but understand that God's in charge on the throne. Satan would offer to you like he offered Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 6. He offers you all the baubles of the world. What would it take to get you to worship him instead of God? We could sit here and say, you know, these people, how could they be deceived to follow them? God's God. But I can tell you as a preacher for 40 some years that people are often bought off by a promotion, an opportunity, a bauble of this world. And they step out of God's will. Be careful. End with this thought. You read some of the different literature of time, and one of the most interesting, probably along this line, is Faust. You ever seen the play, the opera Faust? Faust sells his soul to the devil. And what does he get in return? He was a man that's going bust, but pretty soon everything he touches turns to gold. His business thrives. Everything he wants. It's a picture of just what we see here. Everything seems to be going forward for him. And even he raises up in politics and he becomes a leader in the community and he becomes, I don't know, governor. I don't know all the things that I can't remember. But Faust is riding high. But the contract he made with Satan had a deadline on it. And I think it was like 20 years later, one day he's just in his own, enjoying all the baubles that Satan had given him, and poof, Satan appears in his midst. And he says, I'm here. He said, what for? To collect. I know it's just a play. It's not scripture. But boy, does it portray truth. If Satan offers you the baubles of the world, be careful, it's bait with a hook in it. And Christians, tonight, as we see the book of Revelation and what's coming in the future, that same spirit of Antichrist works today. Don't let him deceive you. Let's bow our heads, please.